Dungeons and Daddies, not a BDSM podcast, is hitting the road this summer from May 31st through June 14th. We're doing part two of our U.S. live tour.
Whoa. I came up with a name for this one.
Yeah,
it's
called
the Areas Tour.
Kind of
similar.
Dungeons and Daddies, the Areas Tour, feat Taylor Swift. We're hitting the road again. Midwest and East Coast dates on sale. Tickets are available now. We're starting up in St. Paul, Minnesota. We're going to Milwaukee, Chicago, Indianapolis, Detroit, Pelham, Tennessee, Atlanta, New York, Philadelphia, and Boston.
Wow.
More info on our website, dungeonsanddaddies.com/live.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Dungeons and Daddies is brought to you this week by Greenlight. As your kids get older, some things about parenting get easier. They don't poop themselves as much.
Speak for yourself, yeah. Freddie.
Oh, okay.
I'm pooping myself right now.
You're pooping right
now.
I'm
not even a kid anymore.
Well, other things are difficult, like conversations about their adult incontinence and also conversations about money.
Money.
The fact is, kids won't really know how to manage their money until they're actually in charge of it, and that's where Greenlight can help.
Let's be honest, in 20 years, they're probably going to be using, like, bottle caps and whatever else the roaming wastelands require.
Greenlight is a debit card and money app made for families. Parents can send money to their kids and keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens build money confidence and lifelong financial literacy skills. What they don't tell you is that literacy sometimes does mean spending a lot of money on Pokemon cards.
Yeah.
With the Greenlight app, kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely, thanks to games that teach money skills in a fun, accessible way. That app also includes a chores feature where you can set up one-time or recurring chores, customize your family's needs, and reward kids with an allowance for a job well done. You think they're hitting the farm kids as much as they are hitting the city kids? You know what I mean? It's like milking the cow.
Yeah.
Those
getting Beth her adult diapers.
What was your childhood chore that you had to do, Beth?
I had to empty the dishwasher and also pick up dog poop.
Okay. I didn't do the dishes. You got a dishwasher? I didn't have it. I did the dishes.
Ah, you folks.
And weeded. Not smoke weed. That would have been a good chore. You know, kids back in the day, before there was such a thing called marijuana, weeds described plants that lived in your garden that would kill other plants. So, like, that, I would have to get rid of them.
I was the dishwasher in my family, but also I would wash the dishes and put them into the dishwasher because the Asian household will use the dishwasher on fully clean washed dishes. Mm. It's kind of a thing. Millions of parents and kids are learning about money on Greenlight. It's the easy, convenient way for parents to raise financially smart kids and families to navigate life together. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free when you go to greenlight.com/dungeons. That's greenlight.com/dungeons to try Greenlight for free. greenlight.com/dungeons. Dungeons and Dice is brought to you this week by ExpressVPN. So we know how ExpressVPN protects your privacy and security online, but here's something you might not know.
Okay.
You can use ExpressVPN to unlock movies and shows that are only available in other countries.
Oh, we're allowed to talk about that?
Yes.
That's all I use it for.
Yeah,
that's legal?
Yeah.
Yes. Matt always talks big game about the UK office.
I talk big game about it.
And why is the UK office better than the US office?
I mean, why? How is it not?
You had a really elegant, I thought, breakdown of exactly why you think it's better.
Well, for a VPN, I would say the reason that you should use this VPN to watch the UK office rather than logging onto whatever streaming platform has the dumb US office on it is that if you want a show that actually where a bunch of people actually act like they're on camera and are real personalities instead of a bunch of like...
I just want you all to know that as Matt's saying all of this, I'm looking right at the camera like Jim from the American office being like, get a load of this guy, right?
If you haven't seen the UK office, go ahead, log into your VPN and go check it out. It's only 12 episodes plus a, you know, Christmas special.
ExpressVPN lets you control where you want sites to think you are located.
Ooh, that's fun.
So you can choose from over 100 different countries.
I only ever think of this scene in GoldenEye where they're trying to find Boris and like his little things bouncing around all over the place and like the GoldenEye laser is going to get them. Do you guys remember that?
Yeah.
That's what a VPN is, in case you were wondering.
But you can't use it to cheat on your wife. Your wife will not think you're in a different location than you actually are.
Also,
so don't even try to do it for that.
Unless you're cheating on your wife, with K-dramas. Use ExpressVPN to watch K-dramas off South Korean Netflix, or you could use Hulu, BBC iPlayer, anywhere you want it to be, you can be there. Hundreds of VPNs are out there, of course, but the reason we use ExpressVPN is because it's very fast. No buffering, no lag, you can stream in HD, no problem. Also works on all your devices, phones, media, consoles, smart TVs, and more. So watch what you want on the go or on the big screen. So if you want to get access to hundreds of new shows, use our link right now, expressvpn.com/dungeonsanddaddies, and you get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN for free. That's expressvpn.com/dungeonsanddaddies. ExpressVPN.com/dungeonsanddaddies to learn more.
Dungeons and Daddies is a rowdy, horny, violent podcast for grown-ups. Content warnings can be found in the description.
Tantor Audio presents Forsnaken, a history of the snake people of the land of Faerun. Written by Sea Snake, narrated by Will Jenkins. Published by Kobold Press Neverwinter, who holds the copyright thereto. Book 7, My Time with the Daddies, Part 3, The Orcish Fire Pit, Chapter 8, A Debt Fulfilled. Wookiee Life Debt. Dread Cow Vacaris. Dread Bread Redemption. Walter the Immoral. Payden. End of Side 1. To continue, please flip this podcast to Side 2.
Welcome to Dungeons and Daddies, not a BDSM podcast, not really even a D&D podcast. I figured it out, folks. It's a true crime podcast based on the things
yes,
that we say.
Real crime junkies know.
This is a D&D podcast kind of about five dads from our world flung into the Forgotten Realms on the quest to rescue their lost sons. My name is Freddie Wong. I play Glenn Close, the rock and roll bard of the group. This week's Glenn Fact, everyone remembers the contentious war of PlayStation versus Xbox. We all were on different sides of those battle lines.
As if it's not still going on, Freddie.
That's true. But Glenn Close was well aware of that, and he never understood what the big deal was, because you just get both. I don't get it. And then people are like, Glenn, you're an adult. This is not a war between adults. This is a war between children and teenagers.
Did he bring up this point with Nick while not buying Nick either console?
Oh, no. Nick definitely had both.
Four consoles.
If you think Glenn Close wasn't hooking Nick up with video games in lieu of parenting, then you have not been paying attention.
That's very true. Fair
enough.
You got
him one of the like pirated Xboxes or the like jailbroken ones that have like every SNES game on there.
I got one of them hacked PS2s that let you. I actually did have one of those. It was a great investment. Anyway.
Hi, my name is Matt Arnold. I play Daryl Wilson, a stay-at-home coach dad who becomes a barbarian in the Forgotten Realms. Quick little dad fact about Daryl, or I guess it's also about Grant. So Grant's nickname is Shooter, and he got that also at the same time that Daryl was banned from sharing YouTube videos anymore or any videos with his kid.
What?
So Grant,
I'm sorry.
I'm dreading the end of this dad.
So Grant was having his soccer friends over and they're doing a little YouTube party, having a good time. And Daryl's like, oh, here's a funny ass video. I'll show you guys a funny video. And he pulled out one of the first videos he had on his phone of his kid, which was when he was changing Grant's diaper for the first time by himself without Carol. Grant shot shit across the entire room and Daryl started laughing. He kept that video. So he showed it to all his friends and now all his friends call him Shooter and he's banned.
Wait
from
a second.
Show.
I'm doing the math on timelines as to when people had cell phones with video cameras on them and when Nick would have been born. And then Daryl had that phone. He has a Nokia. None of this adds up. There's
a
ripples
video camera
in the timeline today.
It was a VHS tape. He saved
it. It's a mini DVD.
That's very good. He's like, I got a YouTube.
He pulled out a 16 millimeter camera like in National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation and pulled all the kids around and scanned through all the wedding photography. He was like, no, here, I got something to show you. And then what's this? It's Grant shooting shit across the room.
I like that he had Shooter. A 16. I guess it would have been like a home movie or whatever. That checks out. All right.
Is Carol in the background screaming, hey, change the diaper. Why are you filming this?
It's going to seep into the wallpaper. Matt, no joke. I think every parent friend of mine has had the same story. Like,
yep, I have the video on my phone still. I'm definitely saving it to share with Dot's significant other at some point.
Hey, everyone. What's up? I'm Will. I play Henry Oak, Birkenstock rocking, hippie, granola crunching, munchy, crunchy, hippie nature druid dad. Henry's dad fact this week. I feel like I gave you guys a nice, sincere dad fact last week. So we're back to cruel, awful Henry facts. And this one I decided to do in honor of Freddie and Matt's side podcast, Debate Me Coward, where they debate pizza toppings and set the internet on fire.
It's more than just pizza toppings, William, but go ahead. Reductive much, but.
Henry's favorite pizza is pineapple. And you're probably wondering.
You fuck.
You're probably wondering. You're like, but wait, Henry's vegan. How does he eat cheese? And no. Henry does not put cheese on his pizza. His pizza is just crust, tomato sauce, and pineapple, and that's his favorite pizza.
Actually, guys, that sounds delightful.
Thank you. That one is courtesy of my wife, Cherish. She came up with that one. So,
wow.
Beth, you say that sounds delightful, but just turn around and tell me how disgusting this sounds. How about I give you a slice of pineapple, put some marinara sauce on top of it, and put some breadcrumbs on it? Also, this sounds disgusting.
You know, he'll sprinkle a little oregano on there, maybe some red pepper flakes. Like, it's all the trappings of pizza, but with no cheese.
I mean, I just love pineapple. You could do a lot to pineapple before I would say no. Anyways, hey, murderinos. I'm Beth May. And I play Ron Stampler, emotionally detached stepfather and rogue. This week's dad fact about Ron. Okay, I think that Ron didn't know that male person was a profession. I think that he just thought they were like, it's people that come over like sometimes noon, sometimes 2 p.m. just to say hi and give you stuff. I didn't think it was like anybody's job.
He just thought they were men. He's like, I'm a male person too. Hi.
Yeah, a male person. A male.
And hey, everyone, I'm Ashley Birch. I play Dennis Anderson. He's a thirst trap PTA firefighter widow dad.
Ooh, we love him for it.
And he's a bit of a rogue. He's a bit roguish in his way. Dennis's dad fact this week is, so Dennis likes to go to a 6 a.m. yoga class to keep his body tight, and which that's like the witching hour for widows to find hot dads to kind of snake on.
And 6 a.m.
6 a.m. You know, they get up bright and early. They get their shit did. They come to yoga. Mm-hmm. They're looking for Denny.
I mean, he does everything better than Henry. Henry only does his yoga at 7 a.m. Oh.
I know. He has to get up early because he has to be able to take little Ulysses to school. So.
Yeah. That's so sweet.
I know. It's very sweet.
Because 6 is the number that sounds closest to sex.
Exactly.
Right?
But, you know, Dennis is a pure heart, so he wouldn't know that necessarily. He just thinks it's a nice time. It's nice to start your day early.
He doesn't know that 6 and sex sound similar.
He goes to yoga early, and one week, one of the widows that had taken a shine to him gave him a shirt that said DILF, but underneath it said devoted, involved, loving father. And he just thinks that
that's such a good shirt.
That's what he thinks DILF stands for.
That is such a good shirt.
And he was like, oh, that's really sweet. And now it's kind of an in-joke between her and the other widows.
Oh, my gosh.
We all hate each other because they really want to bang Dennis.
Ashley, am I hearing it right that this is like some sort of widow yoga that Dennis crashes?
I don't think I quite follow. It's the widow witching hour. A bunch of widows just happen to come to this yoga class.
Oh, it's not like, you're not allowed to do yoga unless your husband is dead?
No. It's one of those things where everyone found out that Dennis goes there at 6. So now all the thirsty widows come out of their hidey holes to
and
go to
which,
yoga.
And which yoga studio is this? in Los Angeles?
Wouldn't you like to know?
Yes. Which yoga studio is this and who does Beth need to marry and then murder to get into it?
It's the Core Power Yoga on La Cienega.
I'm Anthony Birch. I'm your daddy master, and I have good news. Our long national nightmare is over. I have found a way to pet my cat that does not involve any erogenous zones at all.
Oh, God.
It's totally fine.
Proud to be an American today.
I really wish she wouldn't keep talking about this.
Is it just you telling your cat that you're not going to pet it anymore? It's just like, no you don't get pets.
I lick my own ass in front of my cat.
Establishes dominance.
Brother,
no, it's you do the head, the head down to the middle of the back, and then you do it really rough, and that is enough to confuse her senses. And she's
worse.
Like, I guess this is what I want.
It's worse when you say it that way.
What is happening?
It's not erotic. She just really likes it.
It's worse.
She loves it.
I furminated my cat today. She loves it.
Oh
yeah. You got your furminator?
It's exactly like furminating.
There you go.
Every time this almost isn't a BDSM podcast. It just works its way, its magical way back into being a BDSM podcast.
BDSM is the black hole at the center of our universe.
My cat has never nutted, and my cat will never nut.
When we last left you, you had finished barbecuing the Dread Calvacaris to find out where all of your daddy magic anchors were.
Dennis scoring that roll for medium rare on that, right?
Oh, yeah.
So to reiterate, Henry's was in Oakvale. Daryl's was in Balls Deep.
Mm-hmm.
Ron's was in Swankery Hill. Glenn's was in Meth Bay. And Dennis's was in the Librarium Decepticus. And right as you were considering talking about, hey, which anchor we're going to go through first, Aaron O'Neill came up on the leaves and told you that because the thing that was in your van that prevented you from being magically located has disappeared, the Omega Dads know where you are. They sent bounty hunters after you. And then immediately afterward, you heard the familiar voice of Walter the Immoral coming and asking where the hell his son Peyton was. And you immediately told him like, oh, Peyton's right there. And he went, oh, okay, cool. No big deal. And he put his sword away. So Walter says, where have y'all been?
Walter, hey, hey, it's me, Henry Oak. Hi, nice to see you again. You know, Peyton snuck out with us and then we got tangled up in a whole bunch of crazy hijinks and we were just on our way to bring him back to you, right, guys? And I look at all the other dads like to give like the thumbs up like does this sound like a good plan?
Yeah, absolutely.
Glenn thumbs ups and nods.
I mean, you know Peyton. Peyton goes where he wants. Also, I'm pretty sure that we gotta get the hell out of here ASAP. So if you're gonna be mad at us for taking your kid, like, let's do that. Not here.
And Walter, you know, Peyton's coming of age and he needs to go on some adventures and just sort of discover himself. And we're a safe group to do that in. So I don't think you need to worry about him too much.
Okay. Who are you?
Peyton, who is currently hugging Dennis around the stomach and like a front-facing backpack, like turns his neck to look at Walter and goes like, yeah, yeah, I feel very safe. And he nuzzles Dennis's ample pecs.
Dennis pets Peyton's hair in a very loving way.
He purrs. In a non-erotic way.
In a non-erotic, platonic, nurturing way.
Nowhere near the tail.
Peyton will never nut. I make that promise to you, dear listener.
Oh, poor kid. Really?
Yeah, maybe he's
never.
I mean, never? Like, what happens? Okay. Well, I won't
not
get into
that. Not while this podcast is going. If you pay it.
We won't know if he does unless he tells us.
If we get 10,000 Patreon subscribers, we'll do Dungeons and Daddies Nights that's like 20 years in the future and tells you about all Payne's escapades.
Ron turns to Dennis and says, hi.
Hey, bud. You okay?
I'm Ron.
I know, buddy.
Ron
is my name.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're just hanging out with hey Peyton, who's your friend here?
Dennis?
Ron.
Obviously, my main man.
Okay.
Dennis leans over to Glenn and goes, is he doing the thing he does? Is he goofing?
You know, half the time it's a goof. And half the time, you don't know where the goof goes. So you kind of just ride until there's a punchline. But sometimes the punchline never comes.
Right. Okay.
I don't know if this is like the mustache thing, like the practical joke thing. But I don't think we have time for this. Walter, did he bring any horses or anything so we could get the hell out of here?
I didn't need to bring a horse. I brought something I would say considerably cooler based on what you showed me that one time. Let me bring it out. And he steps in the shadows and then walks out what seems to be a motorcycle with four sidecars attached on either side. It's a very, very wide motorcycle made primarily of wood and
what
like
rusted
metal.
Dennis kind of raises his hand and goes, these are sort of dangerous. Maybe I should drive. You know, I've done some motorcycle racing in my time.
Oh, that's right. Dennis did the whole motorcycle thing earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's a
Dennis,
good call.
Dennis, why don't you roll persuasion?
Oh, no. 8.
He goes, Dennis, as always, I appreciate your attempts to make things easier on me, but I think it would be more reasonable if I drove it because I understand the weight of this baby and how to keep it going.
Sure.
Yeah, there might not be room for Dennis.
What?
Why wouldn't there be room for Dennis, Ron? I mean, I was going to say, it does seem like, is there going to be room for everyone and the kids, right? Because, like, if there's only four sidecars, I guess we all just scooch in?
Walter looks at it and he goes, like, oh, I can't believe I screwed up. I forgot to put on the fifth sidecar.
Oh, Walter, you know, buddy, it's totally fine. It's totally fine. Hey, how about this? Would you mind? I can just sit behind you if there's room, and I'll just tug you.
Oh, you can hold me around the stomach?
Yeah, I'll just hold you around the stump, and then we'll just go on our merry. Does that work?
I think so.
Okay,
I think
great.
So.
Yeah, that works.
That way everyone can be comfy.
Yeah.
Is everybody going to get on the motorcycle?
Yeah, I grab Grant and I hop in one of the sidecars.
I grab Lark and Sparrow by the hand and I say, motorcycles are very dangerous and, you know, I'm a little nervous about us all getting in here without helmets on, so we're just going to sit very still, okay?
Yep. Yes.
Okay, well, you guys are going to be each other's safety buddies, so see who can hold on to the sides of the sidecar the tightest, okay? I bet that I can hold on tighter than either of you.
Lark and Spare immediately go like, I take that challenge. And they grip into the sidecar so hard that the wood of it splinters.
Glenn sits down with Nick. It's like, hey, Nick, can you pass me the other end of that seatbelt? Just kidding.
Oh, nice,
you almost
one.
Got me. I was like, I don't know where it is. Oh, man.
We don't need a seatbelt where we're going. And I kick back.
Good shit.
Hey, Terry, you want to, after you, kiddo, you want to hop in there in the sidecar thing?
Well, if I go in first, you're going to have to be sitting on my lap. Do you want to go in first?
No, you can go in first. And I just want to, Dennis seems to be having a great time so close to the bullywog. I don't see why I can't be wrapped around somebody. Just sort of.
Yeah, Terry, why don't you
no
make
reason?
Room for your dad, huh? There's not a lot of space. We all have to cuddle up.
Thanks, Dennis.
No problem, bud.
And Ron just squints, like, very hard at Dennis, but in, like, a way that to everybody else might seem innocent.
Terry kind of goes like, yeah, you got a good point. And so he gets in the car first and tries to scoot over to make enough space. There isn't enough space. So you're just going to sit on your stepson's lap?
Yeah. Is that cool? Is that weird?
No, I don't think it's weird.
I don't think it's weird.
I think it's wholesome.
Weird.
Ron
it's
is
Ron
canonically
weird.
5'4".
Terry's like, this doesn't have to be weird. It really doesn't have to be weird.
Hey, Terry, you're right. It does not have to be weird at all. It doesn't. It doesn't have to be. It doesn't even have to be a little bit weird. It can just be
I mean,
be
one
like
of us
this.
Is going to have to sit on the other's lap and you are not wearing pants. So no matter what, it's going to be a little bit weird.
I'm already sitting on his lap. I'm already sitting.
Okay. I lean over to Grant and I'm like, those stamplers are pretty weird, aren't they?
Grant, for the first time in what feels like hours, meets your eyes and goes, yes. And then looks away again.
Oh, they found a new bond. They can shit on Ron together.
I like the thing that Ron is taking Terry's hands and then like clasping them around his waist. And it's
no.
like, clasp your fingers, please, to be a seatbelt.
So Walter guns it. And this behemoth made of wood and steel that's powered by seemingly a big box of coal at his feet roars out of the cave. And as the daylight of the cave begins to hit you, you begin to see the silhouettes of five riders approaching you on mounts of various different sizes. And as the car gets closer and closer, you can see that some bounty hunters on a very large mastiff, a horse, mm-hmm. a camel, a skinny elephant, and a miniature pony a la Little Sebastian
yeah.
are all charging towards
skinny?
You. And they look to be Kenku, which is bird people that can't fly.
Idiots. What's even the point? Okay.
So they're all holding their weapons forward and sort of charging at you, and the car is coming, the motorcycle rather, is coming toward them, and you're about to hit them. Is there anything you'd like to do before you hit them?
Oh, so it's like a jousting moment. Like we're both going straight at
them.
Oh, so
yeah, they're coming straight at us?
Yeah.
Can I do like a perception-y type check to see if there's any sort of hot maneuvering we could do, if there's any sort of way we could slip between or do something advantageous with the room that we got?
The room you're in is hypothetically collision course, but actually, why don't you give me a perception check and then I'll tell you.
Could we do like the cartoon thing where we split the sidecars away and then they go through us and then we bring them back together?
Absolutely, you can do that.
I got an 18.
Okay, so with an 18, you know that A, you could do the thing that Matt just said, and B, hypothetically, if you did it properly enough, you could like fold in the end sidecars and then like use the tunnel that you're in like a pipe and then sort of drive around the circumference of it, like going over them kind of.
Well, like in Men in Black when he presses the red button.
Exactly.
Henry, this is all you, baby. All you gotta do the vines. We split up and we make a clothesline.
Ooh. Yeah. Oh, that's pretty good.
That's very cool.
I think we should do that. Guys, you ever watch that movie where it's the guy and his dad and they're in a motorcycle with the sidecar and I think his dad is James Bond and the younger guy is like, he's Harrison Ford. I can't remember which movie this is, but it doesn't matter. They're in a little car and they separate, I think, at one point. I might be remembering this wrong. Look, the point
yes,
is
bad movie.
We're going to do like a little clothesline, right? So check this out. And I cast Entangle on the side of the motorcycle.
So you haven't detached the cars yet, right?
No. The idea is I'm going to pull like a big vine or thing of vines out of this pile of entangled vines, and then we're going to like stretch it out and like split and clothesline them.
Probably like Dennis holds one side of it.
Yeah. Like, do you guys remember when we dropped the pyramid in Neverwinter and then Dennis and I both jumped off the other sides with a rope and then we were hanging and balancing?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like that.
Actually,
okay.
What?
You don't remember the pyramid?
Henry. Yeah. Ron. Okay.
I
There was that
frogs?
Whole thing. We killed all those people. It was really bad.
Hey, mister, I caused the pyramid. I basically, it was all my fault, you know? It's just give me a little credit here.
No, yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I don't mean to.
Ron?
I know it's a sore subject.
Ron, I look straight at Ron. Ron. We all caused the pyramid, man. You can't put that on your own shoulders.
Yeah.
Well, I was just saying that Dennis, I don't know what Dennis did.
Ron, we can sort out who did what about the pyramid. We can look, it's important when you go through something traumatic to process it, but right now is really not the time. And I look at Dennis, I say, Dennis, just like the pyramid, bro. And I throw him a wink and then I toss him the other end of the vine.
You got it, buddy.
Ron, under his breath, says, this is not just like the pyramid.
And then Glenn is going to take this moment to do a little bit of bardic inspiration and quote some Iron Maiden at Dennis. So Dennis, Ashley, you're going to be able to have a 1d8 for any ability check that you want to do here for the next 10 minutes. So inspired are you by the lyrics of Iron Maiden.
Anthony, okay, so I want to use all of the core yoga strength that I have to try to hold on to this vine while also keeping the motorcycle straight so that Walter doesn't like tip since we're doing some shenanigans, you know? I want to make sure he's on the straight and narrow.
Okay, so are you going to hold both ends of the vine from like the left or the right side, or just one of them?
Henry has one end. Dennis has the other end.
Okay.
And this is what we'll do. Henry's got one end. Dennis has the other. Daryl, who is in the sidecar next to Henry, like, you know, because he always stays close to Henry, he leans over Henry's lap.
Aww.
And then he is the one who's going to unpin the sidecar so that it's all right.
Gotcha.
Hey, guys, out. I can cool. do something really stupid that then works in a coincidence. We don't have to do this plan.
You could describe what that is and then maybe actually do it. That would be great.
No, Dennis, I said that I've done it before. You would know, whoever.
Daryl's like, Henry, are you good? Are we ready
I'm
to go?
Good. And then
I unpin
let's
it.
Let's do a vinyasa flow. And then I go to Daryl. I'm like, that's a yoga joke. I don't think you'd get it, but pull the pin.
I don't get it. And I pull the pin.
Okay.
All right. So I'm going to try to, like, I guess, Daryl.
Ron turns
you might
to Terry Jr. and says, I got that yoga joke.
Derry's like, he can't say much because your back is smooshed into his face, but you feel his hand reach up and like pat you on the shoulder a couple times.
Do we have to roll or anything, Anthony?
Okay, no, you don't have to roll. You've basically pulled it out you pulled the thing out and the sidecar's beginning to drift to the side. So who does need to roll is Dennis and Henry are holding on to their ends of the vine. So both of you roll strength or athletics, up to you. Athletics would probably be better.
Fuck it. Why not? I was going to be like, I feel like Henry would just tie it to the cart, but...
Oh, no, it's even better. That's great.
Okay.
Roll, like, dexterity or sleight of hand.
I fail.
Uh-oh.
No, but you can throw a 1d8.
How bad did you turf it?
Okay, hold on. Let me try that. Oh, I got a fucking one. Are you serious?
Oh, no. The 1d8.
That's great.
That's the first time that the bardic inspiration I've given you has not...
I know,
helped
I
you at all.
At least a 5.
What was your roll?
My roll on my d20 was a 5, and then my roll on my d8 was a 1.
Yikes. Well, Henry held on to his like a champ, so Henry still got the rope.
Okay, so Henry tied
his side on.
Dennis
was doing
on.
A real corpse pose over there.
That is a good one, buddy. That is a good one.
It's not supposed to make you... okay.
Terry again pats you on the shoulder. The vine gets yanked out of Dennis's hand. And worse than that, it doesn't just fall to the ground. The vine falls into the wheel of the motorcycle and gets caught up in it. And so immediately the motorcycle gets gummed up and the front wheel stops moving, which means the back wheel continues to move. So
like Last Crusade style?
Well, I was going to Last Crusade, or I was going to say the Dark Knight, the semi-trailer, like the back of it just goes and like starts coming up over the top because the front has stopped so suddenly. And all of you begin to tumble forward out of your sidecars. So everybody give me a dexterity roll to try to avoid damage as you land.
Shit.
So just to clarify, what I'm doing is as I feel the car crashing, I am hugging and wrapping myself around Grant.
Okay.
Aww,
so he won't have to take any damage then. Whatever damage he takes, I'll roll for all the kids. But specifically, Grant, whatever damage he might get will instead happen to you, Daryl.
So what am I rolling, dexterity or constitution?
You're rolling dexterity saving throws.
Shit, wait, do we never long rested at the end of the last episode? Because you guys bullied me into doing that fight while...
Because
like
we were going to get attacked. We were
going
to attack
okay,
and kill
so I was going to be like, oh, Henry nailed it. But Henry's got fucking disadvantage on all of his rolls still. So Henry did not nail it. And Henry's going to die.
Well, remember, poison wouldn't be fixed during long rest. Remember, that's the other thing. Poison's not fixed during long rest.
Fucking mom would be fixed in long rest.
I got a 16 plus 1, so 17.
13 plus 3, 16.
I got an 8.
Oh, no.
Henry got a 7.
Oh, no.
Henry, don't you have inspiration?
Oh, you know, I did have an inspiration. All right. I'll use my inspiration too. Do I have to roll? Do I get disadvantage when I burn inspiration again? Or do I just get a new roll?
Hypothetically, you would use it beforehand so that it would be like, oh, it cancels out. So actually, just use a normal ass roll. Ignore what just happened. Just do, give me a normal roll now and that'll count.
Okay. I got a 17.
17. Okay.
Yes.
Wait, can I use inspiration? Because I had that sick burn on Dennis that everybody thought was so funny, including Dennis.
No.
Okay.
So everybody who rolled less than a 10, you're going to take 2d4 damage, and all the kids saved except for Grant. So Daryl, you're going to take 4d4 of damage.
Ooh.
And the motorcycle comes to a horrible and sudden stop. All of you are thrown forward by the suddenness of the jolt, and the four bounty hunters on their steeds of different size are still coming at you. What would you do?
I got 15 damage.
15 damage?
That's almost the max you could possibly get.
4, 4, 3.
Oh my God.
This is why you wear helmets when you ride motorcycles, people.
Yep.
I got 6 damage.
Okay.
Ow.
Okay, so real quick, character strategizing. Will, it feels like the vines are going to be the way to stop these other vehicles in their tracks, right?
Oh, because they're still strewn all over the bippity-boppity place?
Yeah.
Are we in combat?
You're going to get one more turn of reaction because you guys stopped short of where you were going to go with your speed. So you have one more turn to do something, and then we'll be in combat.
What happened with the kids?
So the kids all flew forward, but Lark and Sparrow, because they were holding so tight onto the cart, like you suggested, just sort of stayed with it as it went forward, and then they let go gently after it stopped moving. Terry was cushioned by Ron's girth being on top of him. Let's rephrase that. Terry was cushioned. Terry just knows how to land. You know what? Terry just knows how to land safely. It's fine. He can take care of himself. He's the best soccer player.
He's quick on his feet.
Nick got so fucking lucky because his legs were up and his hands were behind his head. And when the thing stopped, his fear kicked in and his legs went totally straight and they braced him against the cart so that when it flipped over, he was just sort of standing. And then he just sort of stepped out of the
cart.
Now,
let's be honest. You know how like when drunk people get hit by cars, they don't get hurt because they're all super flexible. It's like both Nick and Glenn are so high and so loose that they just roll off this thing like a baby. They just bounce back.
Yeah, that's definitely a fact more people should know.
Yeah. Don't drive drunk. But if you do get into an accident, make sure that you are drunk.
Get drunk.
If you're going to walk across the street, walk across the street drunk.
Oh my God. All right. Let's.
For legal reasons, that was a joke.
Since Ron is the only one that failed, is it possible for me to like go over and help him up really fast?
So you go to help Ron up, but your grip slips. When you fell out of the motorcycle, the holster for your dagger on your belt got like right angled. And as you try to pick Ron up, you stumble a little bit, or Ron stumbles a little bit, and he falls kind of onto the tip of the dagger. So Ron, take an additional 1d4 plus 2 damage.
Oh my God.
Wait, he like fell onto his dagger?
Yeah.
All right. So I took 4 more damage.
Oh man.
Okay. Everybody who's not Dennis has one thing they can do before these guys get to you.
What do the sidecars look like?
They're basically like big old rectangular wooden crates that are attached by an iron beam to the center of the motorcycle.
So our 4 sidecars are still attached and the motorcycle separate.
You are connected to the motorcycle, but only by the vine that Henry tied, not by the pin that connects to the beam.
Yeah, I was more thinking about using the 4 sidecars as like a shield of sorts to not let
these animals trample us.
Yeah, exactly. Because we got like a skinny elephant, whatever the fuck that is. We got a skinny elephant.
It's a Republican on a diet, am I right? Cha-cha-cha-cha.
A small pony, a camel. Anyways, we got a bunch of trampling animals
running towards us.
Yeah. Oh, real quick, just broadly, how's Nick's like throwing skill? Can I trust this kid to throw something fairly accurately?
He's got a plus 2.
I'm going to be like, Nick, take this jug and chuck it at whatever comes at me. And I'm going to go like pretend like I'm stuck, like my foot is stuck underneath one of the sidecars. I'm like, oh no, oh, my foot's stuck. Oh, I'm helpless here. And then the idea is that Nick is going to try and throw the jug and splash acid all over whoever is coming to me.
Okay, it will destroy the jug.
Why don't you just grab the jug and throw it at somebody?
Why is Nick being coerced into doing this?
I was going to say, you do realize you're asking your son to throw acid more or less at you. Like, you could You could do like oil or something. You could do like grease. Why don't you just like do like grease on the ground and then they'll all spin out or something like that?
Or light them on fire or something.
I don't want a backseat parent. It's up to you.
Well, Will, this is why you don't backseat parent, because you're not sitting there with my character sheet in front of me. In the same way, when you're out in the real world, you don't have other people's character sheets in front of them. And if you did, you would know that acid comes in 8 ounces and oil only comes in 1 quart, which is not a lot of oil to cause any kind of crazy stuff. But 8 ounces happens to be just enough to melt someone's face off.
Oh, okay. Freddy, a quart is more than 8 ounces, isn't it?
I thought it was.
Yeah, but if the goal is to melt someone's face or set an entire
this is stupid.
Thing on fire.
No, we're not letting this be freaking cut twice as bullshit. I don't know what Freddy's talking about. Okay, so Daryl flips over the four sidecars and...
They're 32 ounces like, in a quart, by the way.
tries to like herd the kids underneath the sidecars.
Yeah, I know what 30... Hold on, back. Okay, you know what? Hold on, back.
No.
I don't want to back up.
Hey, Game Master, referee over here, Game Master, has Glenn finished his action?
Glenn has finished his action.
32 okay, ounces. Cool, so shut up. Okay,
A super big gulp. Yeah, that's going to be enough oil to get someone to spin out. A super big gulp worth.
So what Daryl does is he flips over the sidecars and herds definitely Grant, but then any of the other kids who are nearby, probably Henry's kids, tries to get them underneath the sidecars, and then he like braces up against it and holds up his axe and gets ready for whatever these creatures are going
to
do.
You and Nick are both going to have reactions when they get within your range of attack.
And Grant.
And Grant.
I don't care about Nick.
Nick's actually attacking. Grant's not going to do anything. Grant's just going to hide. Did you want Grant to do something?
I try to herd Nick, and then I see Nick holding a big thing of acid, and I go, and I'm like, Grant, get underneath the sidecar.
You consider grabbing Nick, but then you're like, well, I can't see Glenn's character sheet, so how can I possibly judge?
I mean, what does Grant do? Like, I give Grant my other axe, because I got my great axe, and I have, like, my original starting axe. I give him an axe, but, like, I'm definitely telling the kids to get behind the sidecars.
Okay,
the
well, when you put the axe in his hand, a look of recognition comes upon his face.
Yeah.
Oh,
and he gets a 1,000-yard stare, and he says, I know what to do.
Oh, God.
And he steps so forward, axe in hand, to, like, stand alongside you.
Okay. Oh, I mean, I definitely notice it, but I'm assuming I'm playing this as if, like, they are inches away. So, like, I mean, I raise my axe, and I'm watching Grant. I'm, like, going to get him out of the way if I need to, but...
Okay.
I'm not going to argue with him.
Do we have tabs on Payton, by the way? Is Payton one of the children that you rustled up?
Payton landed fine because he was still holding on to Dennis's torso, and he still is, like a reverse Yoda from Empire Strikes Back.
Oh, so Payton was over with
okay,
you.
Okay, great, good.
Yeah. Dennis has always been Payton's favorite.
Oh, that hurts.
Damn.
Henry, seeing that the kids are safe underneath the sidecars, sees the horde coming, and then he turns to Dennis, and he says, Dennis, and he slaps Dennis on the shoulder and says, be one with the shadows, my friend. Move like the night. Strike like a dagger. Blinding and flying through the darkness. And I cast Pass Without Trace on Dennis.
Woo!
So Dennis has a +10 bonus to dexterity checks.
+10!
And can't be tracked except by magical means.
Holy shit.
That dexterity would have been useful when you gave him the vine.
Yeah. That's okay. You know, I'm better late than ever.
How long have you had that spell? That's amazing.
A good spell.
That's
yeah.
a really good
it's,
spell.
It's good, you know.
Barbarians get angry. And they get some extra damage. That's what I get.
I'm basically invisible now?
+10 to dexterity check. So I guess that must, yeah, that's like you can use that on.
Yeah, stealth, it counts as a dexterity check, I believe.
I don't know.
Yes, yeah.
Agnity will tell me afterwards.
It's called Pass Without Trace. Yeah, it says parentheses stealth check, so yes.
Okay, cool. So yeah, you've done that. So now just Ron remains,
yeah.
Right?
Ron sees that happen and sinks to his knees behind the one of the sidecars. He turns around so he's not looking even at where the conflict's coming, and he like whispers, Mr. Mustache.
Get what it is.
What should I do? I was thinking, like, if I shaved you off, you could maybe tell me what's going on up there, but I could still hide down here, or maybe I could just point this little dagger that's still in my stomach up like a mirror and you could tell me what to do. Mr. Mustache, I'm really confused. There's a lot of things that have changed recently, and I just need some guidance, I think.
Why would you shave me off? That would kill me. I would die. That would be a bummer.
It would look good, though, right?
Don't do that.
I think I would look good.
I mean, we all saw what you looked like before you had the mustache. But you had a normal mustache, and now you have a second mustache, so your sexiness is double. To me, it would be a step back.
Okay, that's fair.
So definitely keep me on the face.
Okay.
Now, in terms of what you should do strategically here, well, you have many options. You could run. You could fight. You could sneak on him. But it seems like your buddy Dennis is probably doing a much better job than that, so.
Oh, we'll see about that. Okay. Can I just try to do whatever Dennis is doing? But without that bonus?
Just follow Dennis.
Absolutely.
Okay, yeah, I'm just gonna try to sneakily follow Dennis.
Great. Dennis, go ahead and give me your stealth roll.
19.
What do you do? Describe what you're doing to sneak up on these bolts.
So basically all of the carts are overturned, right?
Uh-huh.
Are there any adjacent to me?
You were in the center on the motorcycle. So like the rightmost cart on the left set of carts and the leftmost cart on the right set of carts are right next
to
you.
So is it...
What a sentence.
And yet
I know. I'm not good at imagery or visual. Yeah,
I think
not good at that.
If I could roll stealthily underneath one of these things and then as the creatures are passing, can I use my flail and like try to sweep the legs?
Okay. So Ron, give me a stealth check as you attempt to do the exact same thing.
Okay, so I got 13 plus 8.
Wow.
Whoa.
But I think instead of using a flail, whatever the frick that is, I'm going to take the dagger out of my stomach and try to stab somebody while I'm rolling.
Perfect.
Also, could I instruct Peyton to also do the same thing? To like put out a weapon and try to sweep the legs?
Peyton's like, oh, that's my move, baby. You don't have to worry about that. And he looks over at Glenn's tendons and sees that the wound is still fresh. And like, I've been training for this my whole life.
Like punch zoom on the tendons.
Yeah. Walt the Immoral. Actually, I got to roll to see if he landed correctly or not. I didn't do that for him. So Walter came out. He fell onto his face. But then he begins
to... Isn't the bullywug like a frog?
What?
Aren't they like frogs?
He's a bullywug, so he's frog-like. Yeah,
they have faces still.
They have faces and they're allowed to be clumsy, you piece of shit.
Yeah. Oh.
So he falls onto his face and he pushes himself up and mud's dripping off of his face and he sees these five people coming at him and he goes, I didn't come this far to lose my son now. And he pulls out his sword and he just fucking charges at him with the sword held high.
Oh, whoa. Hell yeah.
I think I have a crush on Walter now. Oh my God.
Yeah,
he looks exactly like the frog.
Oh no, my heart.
Okay, so he's going to attack and he misses horribly.
No!
I'm getting flashbacks to the son in Gladiator when he's like, Mama, he's the daddy. Lit up in the greatest horse kill of all time.
That moment's like, it's horrible, but it's like, it's legitimately funny, right? Like, we used to watch that in slow motion on the DVD. It was so funny. Go watch it again. It's a funny
moment.
The
violence in that movie, I was young enough when I saw that, like, when the girl gets cut in half by the, like, blades on the chariot, I was like, do I not like movies? Do I not want to watch movies anymore? Okay, so the guy that he swung at, the one who's on the Mastiff, swings back at him and connects. And... he does 12 damage to Walter, just boom in the face with a mace.
Oh my God.
And Walter falls down.
God damn.
Glenn would go next because you're up there pretending your shit is stuck and you wanted Nick to throw, right?
Correct. And I'm going to do a little bardic inspiration for Nick, by the way. See everyone yelling at my bardic inspiration? You happy now?
Huh? You do that. Like, is there a limit on how often you can do bardic inspiration?
This will be the last one prior to a rest that I will be able to do.
Okay, so which one would you like to target? The one on the Mastiff, the small pony, the...
Oh, just whatever's the easiest one.
All right, fair enough.
I mean, ponies are already small, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, if it's a small pony, it can't be that cool.
How big are these birds?
So the birds are human size, basically. They are bipedal.
So there's a human-sized bird on, like, a teeny tiny pony that...
Yeah.
Like, okay.
It's trying its best. It's really doing
everything it can.
Well, it's still like, it's like really strong though.
You know how you look at a group of friends and you're like, one of these people gets made fun of by the other friends and that's their bonding thing? You can tell it's that one.
This is the bird. If they were playing N64, this bird would have the Mad Cats controllers.
You look at a group of friends and you say, that one's a big human-sized bird on a tiny pony.
Let's try to make that a thing, Dungeons & Dragons fans. So yeah, he's going to throw it at the guy on the tiny horse. And he goes back with his arm and Daryl can see he's in horrible form for like throwing a football or whatever. And he just kind of chucks it and it smashes into the face of the Kenku and acid spreads all over his face. Unfortunately, you've lost that item now because it shatters.
Oh,
a good death.
He falls off of his tiny pony, grabbing at his face. He's going as feathers begin to fly everywhere.
Oh, man.
Damn.
Feathers take this from an R rating to a PG-13.
And then one of the guys that's on the camel is now within range of you, Glenn, who are pretending to be trapped, but you're not.
And this is where I go. just kidding, motherfucker. And I pull out my gun.
Oh my God.
I thought your gun.
I thought you were going to say something cute like, let's bust this hump.
And I'm going to fucking shoot my human firearm at this bird.
Okay.
You keep shooting at birds. Were you shooting at Henry's dad?
He just hates birds.
He hates birds.
All right, give me a roll.
All right.
I don't remember what Chekhov's gun does other than shoot bullets.
Shoot birds.
You can use it to hurt people, or you can shoot it into the air, and the smoke will show you something that is like relevant to the situation.
Yeah, you can do important stuff, or you can kill birds.
Yeah, or you can shoot birds. It has advantage on shooting birds, apparently.
Freddie, are you using iron sights? You got a reflex on there, hollow? What's it got?
What kind of camo do you have?
Glenn is totally one of those guys that you go over to his house, and you're like looking for a popsicle or some ice cream, and he's got like three live ducks in the freezer that he's like hunt himself. And he's like, yeah, we're going out next weekend too.
11 plus 6, 17.
That is enough. So the Kenku, the last thing it sees is you raising a gun. The last thing you see of it is its utter surprise and confusion at what the fuck you're holding, because it's never seen anything like that before. And then bang, it hits him right through the chest and he is launched off the back of his horse and just falls over and stops moving. So that's two of them taken care of.
This is horrific.
And I give a thumbs up to Nick because it's the close boys that made that happen.
Nick gives you a thumbs up. There's still some acid spilled from the jar onto his hand, so it's like burning through his thumb. So he's like shaking a little bit, trying to keep it. Yeah, like Fight Club. He's trying to keep his smile going and keep cool about it, not acknowledge it as it drips down his thumb. But he's like, yeah, we did it, Dad. We did it. So, Daryl, it is your turn.
I'm inspired by Nick's great throw, and I try to flash back to my days of, know what? I'll just canonically, Daryl tried to play baseball and he wanted to be a pitcher, but he was terrible at pitching. So right before he throws, he remembers the day that he threw all balls and lost. So I'm going to give myself disadvantage on this throw.
Okay.
Whoa. That's beautiful.
I'll tell you right away, disadvantage or not, it did not matter because my first roll was a 3. And my second was a 10, either way. So ooh. 3 plus what, dexterity for throwing?
It whiffs completely, just
oh, no.
Through the air, through the window between the bodies of two of the other Kenku. And then Grant sees you completely manage to whiff and he goes, no, like this. And he winds up with his axe.
Wait, before he does it, I look at him, I go, just sweaty hands, slipped right out. It was good aim, but I just slipped.
He goes, uh-huh. And he looses the axe and it sails like you did a vertical, you know, baseball thing. He just does mm-hmm. it like he's doing the hammer toss in the Olympics. And it sails through the air, spinning horizontally and just fucking, let me roll damage.
Oh my God.
It just fucking decapitates the Kenku on the mast.
Oh
my God. Oh my God.
And blood shoots out of the stump on this Kenku's body. And you can see Grant is smiling.
Oh my gosh.
Ooh. Thumb's still up. I'm like, man, Nick, it's weird how we basically did that and that was like fine, but it's like different now. Weird.
Weird. It is weird.
It is weird. It's weird. It's weird though. I don't know. It's weird. I'm very upset.
Daryl definitely notices it. I think he's still pretty embarrassed about missing his, and he's also happy that one of the five creatures are dead that's trying to kill them. But yes, he notices that Grant seems a little bit too.
How many bounty hunters are still up?
So one got thrown off by acid, one got killed by Glenn, and one just got killed by Grant. So there are two left. The one on the...
And they went wee, wee, wee all the way home.
All the way home.
I feel like if we groan every time a kid kills something in this podcast, we're going to be groaning a lot. It feels like we have a lot of combat and we got a lot of kids. Just
well, I feel like if we celebrate every time that a kid kills something in this podcast, we won't have a podcast anymore.
Look, Matt, I don't know how to tell you, but when Nick does it, it's cool, but when Grant does it, it's sad and upsetting. It's just different. Know.
So yeah, it's Henry's turn.
Henry is going to cast Guardian of Nature and turn into a big burly tree guy.
Whoa.
And I'm going to just stand my ground.
Have you cast this before?
Huh? Yeah, I did this in the fight with the dads.
Yeah.
Yeah, remember Aaron said it was problematic?
Oh, yes. So I learned nothing from Aaron calling me out on cultural tree appropriation, and my skin appears barky, leaves sprout from my hair, and I gain the following benefits. So I get 10 hit points, I get constitution saving throws with advantage, and I get dexterity and wisdom-based attack rolls with advantage. The ground within 15 feet of me is difficult terrain for my enemies.
Cool.
Oh, your root system, like, upturns the sidewalk, and the city has to spend $100,000 to fix it.
Yes, it's a real problem.
If they were on bikes, though, their approach would be so much cooler. Like, they're like, hell yeah, got some tree roots and bumps to ride. You guys didn't do that?
No,
you...
instead they are in an elephant and a camel.
Yes.
Were you standing in front of the carts or behind the carts, Henry?
I'm probably right behind wherever Grant and Daryl were.
Okay, then you're behind the carts. Okay, so then yes, both Ron and Dennis.
And Peyton.
And Peyton, of course. The three favorite characters on the podcast. You have a guy on a camel and a guy on a skinny elephant heading towards you.
And they walk into a bar.
Nice one, Ron. I'm going to go for the skinny elephant and try to sweep the legs.
You're going to like try to like slice at its legs?
Yeah.
Give me an attack roll.
Ooh, natty 20, baby.
Ooh,
okay. Shit. So you're going to roll.
Wait, wait. Ashley, you got to give us that Dennis catchphrase every time he gets the natty 20. It wouldn't be the same without that signature Dennis catchphrase. Let's hear
you're
it.
Right. Whenever Dennis gets a natural 20, he goes, I'm just happy to be here.
Okay, so as is always the case when Dennis rolls a natural 20 on combat, you're going to roll whatever your damage die is twice, and then you're going to add the damage modifier. And then, as you know, because you're a rogue and you're very good at playing a rogue, you're also going to roll an extra D6 of sneak attack damage.
Ooh, my gatos. Okay, I think I'm going to eviscerate this person. Oh, my God. Okay, so I rolled 16 plus 6. I'm bad at math. I rolled that
22.
Many.
22.
Wait, you rolled an 8 and then an 8 and then a 6.
Yeah.
All right, yeah. So literally,
that's that Dennis touch, baby. That's that Dennis fucking Dennis touch. Energy. I love it.
Just happy to be here.
You roll Dennis. Out and you fucking slice that elephant's like tendon. And even though it's a skinny elephant, all of its mass is suddenly concentrated on that one newly bad leg.
Oh.
And it collapses into the ground and its head hits the ground at the wrong angle and its neck just snaps.
Oh,
and it dies
sad.
Instantly, which also throws the Kenku off of it. I'm going to roll damage for the Kenku as well.
Dennis sheds a single tear for the elephant. He wished he didn't have to kill.
The Kenku's head hits the ground and also snaps like seconds later. So now, Ron, you have the last remaining guy who's on the camel coming at you.
Yeah.
So again, exactly like Dennis just did, why don't you go ahead and roll to attack?
What Ron is going to do is try to like grab around the camel's leg while like throwing the knife at it. Like throws the knife, then dives for the legs. If that makes sense.
Okay. You want to throw your knife at the camel and then dive at the camel's legs.
If possible, yes. I would love that.
All right, so give me a ranged attack with advantage to throw the knife.
Shit. That is...
Oh, no.
So that's going to be a 7?
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Well, luckily... That, no, there's nothing. I'm joking.
That hurts.
And then you're going to dive at its legs. So give me an acrobatics check, I guess.
Okay.
With disadvantage.
Is Ron trying to tackle a camel? Is that what I'm hearing here?
Yeah.
Obviously.
It's kind of like diving in front of a train.
I think he can do it. Dennis believes in you, buddy.
Dennis, I can do this without you.
You say that and Terry looks over at Dennis. He's like, he can do it.
Camel, top speed. 40 miles an hour.
I 11.
11?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm.
My humps, my lovely camel humps. Check it out.
Okay, so what happens is you dive.
I drive these camels crazy. I do it on the daily. They're asking for my water. I
said, oh, don't you bother.
Thanks, Dennis.
You got it, man.
So you dive forward into the camel's legs and you manage to successfully grab onto one of them. Although grab on is maybe not the right. Basically, one of the hoofs just hits you directly in the chest.
Oh, gosh.
And your body is in such pain that you just like, and like all your limbs go inward or contort and you continue to hang on to the hoof. So take a D8 of damage.
How much health do you have left?
I only have 13 left.
Ooh,
oh, and then this isn't going to kill you.
I took 7 damage.
Oh, okay. Oh my God.
But the camel is going to be more susceptible to fall over if anything hits it because it is now like imbalanced because it has a Ron on one of its legs.
Okay. Nice.
All right.
So now it is Henry's turn. Henry, having transformed into a big ass tree man, this distempered camel is coming at you.
Wait, Anthony.
Yeah.
Did Peyton get a go?
Oh, that's true.
Oh, you're right. You're right. Okay. So let me give Payton a quick roll.
It's so nice that we have Dennis here to remind us about Payton because, like, I mean, if you weren't here, we would totally just forget about Payton.
I know.
Occasionally
you can't. You can't forget
for,
about
like,
Payton.
For like an entire episode.
He's MVP.
Most valuable Payton.
Most valuable Payton.
Payton completely whiffs the air.
Oh.
And he goes, nailed it. like, not ironically, like, he thinks he did it.
Dennis claps him on the back and says, good job, buddy.
He goes, thank you, Dennis. Your praise means the most to me. yeah, Henry, what do you do?
Fucking Walter the Immoral ate, like, major shit, right?
Yes.
Henry is going to cast Healing Word at Walter.
Wait, did you deal with that after?
How about Ron?
Yeah, I'm kind of in a big hump
that's
here.
Right. That's, shit, there's a lot going on. Okay.
oh my God. Why don't you give it to Dennis, huh? He's only just a little bit wounded or something, but yeah, just give it to Dennis.
Okay, I'm going to cast Healing Spirit, which I don't think I've cast before. So I call forth a nature spirit to soothe the wounded. So basically, this is a little healing buddy now that can appear in a space that is a 5-foot cube that I can see within range, and it looks like a transparent beast or fae, parentheses, my choice. I'm going to say it looks like a little piglet.
Ooh.
A little teacup pig with wings, and I'm going to be like, aww. I'll heal all of you when pigs fly, and
how does the pig heal? Does it, like, give you little kisses with its snout?
Aw, a little nuzzle?
That's what I want.
It gives
nuzzle?
You a, yeah, exactly, yes, a little
does
nuzzle.
It, does it do the babe, like, la, la, la?
Oh, I love this pig.
Ram you.
Bah, ram you.
You have to milk the pig,
that
pig milk.
God, Freddy ruined
now
it.
Now I hate D&D.
Yeah, now I hate it.
Scratch a pig above its tail.
Talking about it.
You have to become a spider and spin a web that says some pig, and then you're healed.
All right, so Ron, this little magical flying piglet appears, and as the camel takes you through the piglet's sort of like no-fly zone, the piglet rushes up and nuzzles you and gives you a little piglet nuzzle, and you feel 2d6 worth of HP better.
Okay, I got 8.
8's pretty good.
What if the pig just, like, killed the camel, you know?
Yeah, wouldn't the camel be freaked out by a ghost pig appearing right at it?
Look, if Anthony is feeling charitable, and it's a pretty adorable pig, so I don't know that...
If I grab the pig and throw it toward the camel...
The pig is intangible, unfortunately. It's a nature spirit. It's not an actual flying pig.
So it should only be able to hurt other nature, like a camel.
The camel's probably like, oh, it's a healing spirit spell. I see this shit all the time. I live in Dungeons & Dragons.
Yeah, even if it wasn't intangible and you grabbed the healing pig and threw it at the camel, it would just kiss the camel and heal the camel.
Oh, that's cute.
So no, that doesn't happen.
Some guys have all
the
luck.
I like that.
And would that be so bad?
So everybody does their fucking turn, right? And then the one goddamn remaining Kenku on the camel is going to try to turn around. So he's going to roll to see if he can make his camel turn around on a dime to re-attack
all of you. Wait. Anthony, this is very important. So it's a bird named a Kenku. Would you say that that's a Kenku chicken?
Holy shit. All right, you get inspiration. That's for you. That's for you. Holy
That's one for shit. All you LA
yeah, Will
folks
has a
out
real
there.
Kenku for puns.
Oh, fuck, Will.
Like a sex kink, but like Kenku. This is not my episode, guys. This is not my episode.
Okay, so Kenku Chicken tries to turn the camel really quickly, but because of its disadvantage, because of the Ron attached to its wheels, you basically act like a banana from Mario Kart, and you cause the camel to essentially spin out, and it sort of runs into the wall and is basically just...
Drops 3 gold coins.
Yeah, drops a bunch of gold coins. The Kenku falls off of it, and he is right in front of you, Ron.
Let's see. I just want to hit him. I just want to hit him with all the rage that I wish that I could hit the memory of Dennis, and whether or not he exists or not.
Yeah. Weird thing to say, but sure.
Under my breath, I'm just going to be like, wasn't even here last time I checked, and now he's better at everything. Rogue E. I bet he just wants to be a new stepfather now, and he's going to have Terry Jr. pretty soon. And
hey, buddy, are you okay? You're kind of just looking at that guy and mumbling to yourself.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to hit him.
Give me a roll.
Does the Kenku hear that? Like, does he hear Ron say, I'm going to hit him?
Yeah. Yeah. The Kenku's like, wait, no, don't stop.
Yeah, that's going to be a 13.
Okay.
Just not great rolls for me today.
It's not great, but that's enough. He fell off. He has a pretty low AC right now.
Thanks for saying that.
You hit him. And I feel like since he just fell off and he's a little bit dazed, if you want to, you can do the thing you were, it seems like you were pointing toward, of just like straddling him and just angrily talking about your feelings while you just beat the tar out of him.
I'm like straddling him and talking about my feelings, but I'm staring at Dennis while beating the shit out of him.
Oh my God. That's such threatening energy. I like it very much. You knock the Kanku out and you are now officially out of combat.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Dungeons & Dice is brought to you this week by Rocket Money. Listen, you got subscriptions that you forgot about? I guarantee you, you have subscriptions that you're paying for. You're paying for every month that you don't even use anymore. Or sometimes you sign up for something and you sign up for something and the day later you don't even realize it. Rocket Money can cancel those subscriptions for you in a single click. And they'll even help negotiate lower bills for you by up to 20%. You just submit a picture of your bill and Rocket Money takes care of the rest. They'll deal with the customer service for you. Rocket Money, for those of you who don't know, personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. You can see all of your subscriptions in one place with one tap. And if you see something you don't want, you just help cancel it just by tapping your fingers. And their dashboard shows you monthly spending compared to last month, so you can see where your habits are, see how you're doing, see how the trend lines are going. They can help you create a custom budget and keep your spending on track. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all the app's features. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/daddies. That's rocketmoney.com/daddies, rocketmoney.com/daddies. Dungeons & Daddies is brought to you this week by KiwiCo. It's time. KiwiCo. It's summertime. You ever do outdoor stuff in the summer? I would ride bikes.
No, I've never gone outside.
What, never gone. What, well, what not outside? Not in Phoenix.
Yeah.
Did you bike ride when you were like out in the summer, or would you just bake?
So when I was in Tucson, when I was like bike riding age, and yeah, we would just bake alive. The asphalt was so hot. And then by the time I was in Phoenix, I was in college. You know, who rides bikes? I do, to get to class and to get to other places. And it was very hot. Yes.
So okay. KiwiCo is inviting kids and kids at heart to enjoy their first ever summer adventure series. Ooh. Kids from 2 years old to teens can receive 6 hands-on science and art project kits over 6 weeks with enriching content and fun activities to accompany each project. They have something for everyone, and they offer different topics for each age, whether your child wants to explore space,
hell,
or learn
yeah.
about dinosaurs,
yes.
or learn about how dinosaurs were killed by an object from space.
Oh my God.
I do have to say, looking at the KiwiCo website, there is a physics project for kids age 5 and up. That is pinball? Are you freaking kidding me?
Oh, look at this marble roller coaster.
KiwiCo encourages kids to get outside, explore, and to stay off their screens. Awesome projects from the Summer Adventure Series, like the Bottle Rocket Kit, where you build an actual bottle rocket, but not the kind that you light with a lighter, help to turn the outdoors into a playground of learning and fun. And Matt is the parent in the room here.
Yeah.
Keeping your kid busy and creatively challenged.
Constant struggle.
Yeah.
Especially if you're trying to avoid those screens. Then you got it.
That's the problem, is that screens made them.
Oh my God.
Really,
screens make it
way.
So easy, but you want to avoid those screens. So you got to come up with fun stuff to do, activities. Whoa. And like, look, you got a whole range, but you know how like you think you're prepared and you've got like a whole list of things. You're like, these activities, this is going to last until my kid's in college.
No.
You were now then by like age 4.
KiwiCo
does
like,
I've already
like,
done all the marshmallows with toothpicks and all the like make your own water. But I've done all these things.
KiwiCo's doing that legwork for you, so you can spend quality time just tackling the projects together. Oh, it's going to be nice, Matt, to be able to do these and just be like, I don't have to think. I can just play with
do
it. Convenient and personalized, you'll receive either all your summer adventure crates at once or weekly for 6 weeks. Build the best summer ever with KiwiCo. Get 20% off on your summer adventure series at kiwico.com/summerdaddies. That's the best code we've gotten
That's
so
really
far.
Good. That's
20% off your summer adventure at Kiwi, KiwiCo.com/summerdaddies. One word, summer daddies.
So to reiterate, with the exception of the elephant that snapped his neck, all the steeds are still there and they're just kind of like they're just like looking around riderless.
Hey guys, new steeds.
So yeah, if you want to try an animal handling check to just get a steed for yourself,
yes,
that's something you can do.
Yes,
I feel like I would check on the, okay, so this is the hard part because Matt the gamer wants the Mastiff so badly for Daryl, but Daryl would definitely not be like, hey, time to get a dog. He'd be like, he's running over to Ron right now and checking to see if this bird creature is
alive and talking.
Are the animals also bounty hunters? Are they spies too?
I don't think so, Ron. I think there's just animals. Like, I don't think you blame the horse for, you know, what the rider does.
Well,
that'd be pretty cruel.
That's kind of weird, though, if you think about it, because the ones that win the Kentucky Derby, they name the horses and not the riders.
I'm pretty sure the riders of the horses have names, Glenn.
Yeah, also, the horse doesn't get the money, Glenn. It's not like they give the horse the money.
A lot to think about, guys. A lot to think about.
That's the funniest thing Glenn has ever said.
Ron may have a point. I'm just going to have a look-see. I'm going to do a perception check on these animals.
To do what? To see...
And see if they're sketchy.
Yeah, roll insight to see if animals are sketchy.
Can I try to do, like, a stealth insight check on Dennis?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I do a 17 on insight.
They're just animals. They have no nefarious purposes.
I think it's okay, buddy. I don't think they're spies.
Hold on. I'm waiting for my roll about you to come in.
Say that.
I got a 21.
So, as has been your suspicion this entire time, Dennis is the coolest guy. No. I'm joking.
God damn it. I knew it.
Has this been your suspicion the entire time? Dennis, as far as you can tell, was not actually a part of this party. You just sort of turned after Walter the Immortal showed up and he was just in the group with you guys and everyone was suddenly acting like he had been there the entire time. Something is wrong about him.
As Ron is realizing this, Dennis is petting the Mastiff and he looks great. He is...
Dennis,
you know,
or the Mastiff?
He's just... Both. It looks like a catalog for yoga, if that exists.
Dad huddle.
All right. Hey, Dennis, get on in here.
Dennis trots up. Yeah, Dennis trots up.
Dennis, come on.
Walter says, like, can we do this dad huddle at speed? Could you get on? Can we go?
It's just a dad huddle for,
Oh, Walter, do you want to be involved here?
And no, I don't want to be involved. I just want us to go.
Sort of bring him.
Yes. Okay. Dennis, you and Walter have a dad huddle over there.
Oh, no, we're here. We're here for the dad huddle.
And then I try to grab Henry, Daryl, and Glenn and just sort of, like, shift them over.
Okay. Yeah, we can do it over here. Dennis, we're all having the dad hovel over here, I guess.
I say, hey, kids, can you tie up that chicken over there? Just make sure he doesn't wake up and attack us.
They were doing it before you asked them to. And then Walter's going to go around and he's going to do animal handling checks to try to, like, calm the fucking...
the flying pig.
Yeah.
So is Dennis part of the dad huddle or not?
I'm waving Dennis over. Yeah, let's see. Okay. Dad huddle. Good idea. Over. Good call, Ron. Dad huddle.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you all for being here.
Sure.
Some more than others. So.
Okay.
What's that about, Ron?
I'll tell you what that's about, because we are being stalked by our fathers.
You know what? I think I know what's going on here.
I think you know what's going on, too.
I think there's been a lot of tension between us.
There has
been. I said some unkind things about your pants a few adventures ago. I know we all talked about this.
No, you didn't.
We had an extra dad huddle. You
never said anything about me because you weren't even here.
Ron,
look, I know you're upset, and I know we haven't really cleared the air about it. You talked about it a lot. I thought it was kind of disquieting. I talked to the other dads about it.
No, you were disquieting. You were so quiet. You weren't even, like, a voice. Your voice was not here. Your entire body was not here.
Could you maybe try to talk to him for me? I know I haven't been the best with him in the past, and I want to try to
build the bridge. He hasn't been the best with me in the past. He hasn't been the best with any of you. Guys, wake up. Dennis is not real. He just got here.
What?
Now, Ron, we've all had beef with the other dads at various points. You know, I kind of lost my cool with Daryl once or twice and with Glenn, and, you know, and a lot of times after that happened, I wanted to pretend like it hadn't happened either. You know, I remember, like, I didn't want to talk to Glenn, but it's like, you know, it's important to look the other dads deep in the eyes and hear them when they're communicating with you. So, you know,
also remember, look at what we just did. The five of us, we just defeated these creatures. Like, we all did something super cool. Like, you know, me with my axe was cool, and we all did something really cool.
Of us.
I mean, yeah, I guess, you know, that'd be less of us did the same thing would be more impressive. But my point is, as a team, we did a good job.
Okay, Dennis. If you've been here the whole time, then let me see your phone.
My phone? Yeah, sure. And I hand it over.
Yes.
We haven't checked in with Miranda in a while. I'm sure she's worried about you and Ulysses. Should we call Miranda?
No. I'll call Miranda, if that's even her name. Dennis?
Of course it's Miranda. She's in the PTA with Dennis.
Like Dennis, roll Arcana.
Oh, boy. Okay. I got a natural 20, but my Arcana is -1.
It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Okay, yeah, it's a phone he hands you. He hands you a phone. That is a phone.
Oh my God.
If you scroll through it, one of the contacts is definitely Miranda.
Go ahead and call her.
What are the other contacts?
They are Justin, Chadwick, Keanu Reeves, B. Sanders. Yeah, every cool person.
I would like to call Beth May.
Okay.
Oh my God, oh my what?
Go ahead and call Beth May.
Oh my God.
I dial it up.
Right. He said cool person.
Yeah.
Oh, how dare you? How dare you?
Yeah, he should have said coolest person.
Okay, okay. So you hear this. This is so many levels down. Okay, so you hear the phone click as somebody picks it up and you hear a voice go,
hello, it's me, Beth.
Beth, you don't sound like yourself. You sound awful.
No, this is what I always sound like. How are you, Ronald?
Okay, Beth, have you ever encountered a situation where you knew that somebody was not supposed to be with you, but they were with you anyway? Like, think about all of your ex-boyfriends, and you think, like, you walk into a situation, and you think, this person should not be here. It doesn't fit with the group, but they're there anyway. What did you do to get them away?
I watched Firefly and Dollhouse.
Beth, you... But no... You watch other things, I'm sure you do. You've been watching Alias for nonstop.
Right, right. Alias, I also love.
Okay, let's see.
What is going on?
Beth, so, how do you know Dennis? Beth?
We went to college together.
Hey, Ron, are you good?
Yeah, can we? We need to
do
this.
You got what you want from Beth?
We got a lot to do. We still haven't found the 7 crystals that'll lead us to Ulysses. We still have all the other, you know, the stuff with the dads to do. Like, let's wrap this up.
Yeah, thanks, Henry.
So I want to check and see if Dennis is an arm of the granddaddies, like the evil dad magic. And so, like, I want to see if I can use my thaumaturgy to make, like, Willie's voice come out of the phone and see if Dennis, like, responds as if you worked for him or something.
Absolutely. So what you'll do is you use your thaumaturgy and then you can get insight with advantage on it.
Okay.
What do you want Willie to be saying coming out of the
phone?
Yeah,
I'm thinking. Willie's voice says, Dennis, the jig is up.
Okay, so now roll insight with advantage.
Yay, okay, I got 20 total.
Ooh.
Okay, great. So with the 20, you can see that Dennis does not react at all. Dennis doesn't even seem to really recognize the voice. So this conversation is suddenly broken up as Walter comes in holding the reins of 4 different animals, a mini pony, a camel, a mastiff, and a horse. And so it's like, guys, we got to go. Whatever you got to talk about, we could talk about on the road. We got to get going, though, okay?
Walter's right, man.
We got to find my son, Ron, okay? Can you just think of Ulysses? Whatever is between us, can you just put it aside and think of Ulysses? We have to go get him.
Yeah.
Yeah, let me just say goodbye to Beth. Hey, Beth, I don't know. Are you feeling okay? Maybe just like, you know, just stay cool. You're so cool. Have a good time.
I'm feeling great. I'm feeling confident. Good all the time. People love me on the podcast. And yeah, bye.
Call your mom.
I'll give her a ring-a-ding-ding.
Can I have that back? And Dennis holds out his hand for his phone.
Yeah, sure. It was good talking to them. Dennis, who are you? I know, buddy. Please tell me. Please tell me that you weren't Ron, here before.
Hey, Ron, we got to go.
Ron. We'll talk about it on the road. I sort of guide Ron towards the mounts, and I sort of motion to the boys to, like, we got to get out of here.
Okay, so I hand Dennis the phone, but I also hang on to the phone, and so we're now holding hands, essentially.
Yeah, okay. You two, this is good. Physical interaction can establish trust. Why don't you two ride on the camel together?
That's a great idea, Henry. Ron? Would you like to ride on the camel with me?
Yeah. I'll take the front hump and you take the back hump.
I like to hug from behind, you know, as established. So
yeah, like Terry Jr. is like in the middle, like at the bottom of the hump.
Yeah.
In the divot.
So he's just looking directly at his stepdad's ass.
No. Terry Jr.'s height plus Ron's height is actually made so their heads are equal.
Yeah. So who chooses what mount?
I want to say, if you remember way back in the first episode, I think we mentioned to the Lance that Grant lost our dog. The Mastiff looks like a huge version
of the dog that Grant lost.
Oh, shit.
Does Grant even register that?
Yes, I think Grant would probably register that. Daryl just grabs Grant. He's like, this guy looks just like Chief. And he leaps onto the Mastiff.
Okay.
And helps Grant up.
Yeah, Grant leaps on with you.
Hey, so what are the other two?
There's a tiny pony and a normal horse.
Me and Nick, I guess, are going to take the miniature pony.
Perfect. Your heels are dragging along the ground.
Henry's secret dad fact is that he fucking hates horses. He does not trust them. What? He does not like them. And he didn't realize that Daryl was just going to take the big, shaggy, friendly-looking dog. And he's like, all right, I guess me and the boys will take the horse. We can do that. Boys, just be very careful around it, okay? Don't spook it. Just go at it from the front. Just be very calm around this animal.
The horse has a dumb smile on its face, and Lark and Sparrow go, hup, 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 and they, like, wall jump off of each other onto the horse. And then as you approach it, Henry, the horse looks you dead in the eye and goes, what's the problem? You scared? Don't be scared.
Henry's thrown by the horse talking to him, and he goes, I'm fine. Hello, horse. My name is Henry Oak. I did not realize horses could talk here. I've had bad experiences with horses in the past, and I'm not going to let that cloud my judgment about you, because, you know, I don't want to be prejudiced against all horses. So I'm going to go
judge
ahead
a horse by its cover.
Sure. And I'm going to go ahead and get on top of you now, if that's okay with you.
Please do.
Hey, buddy, can you talk? I ruffle the dog's ears. I'm like, can you talk, boy?
And the dog looks, he goes,
yeah, you can talk. Yeah, you can talk. And I rub his ears more. Good boy.
Ron leans over. So I'd love to find out if this camel talks, but more importantly, let's you and I talk, Dennis. How about a friendly game of Never Have I Ever?
Actually, you know, it would be really nice to talk to the whole group once we get going. I think maybe what you're sensing from there's some tension. I have something I want to get off my chest, but I really want to talk to all the dads about it.
Oh, okay.
Hey, Peyton, looks like that camel's full up. Maybe you want to hop on here with Grant and I.
Yeah, all right. All right, why not? And then he jumps on the tail and just holds onto the tail and is just dangling from it as the Mastiff starts.
He's like water skiing. He's like water skiing.
Pretty much. Okay.
Adorable.
So, a couple hours later, you guys are on the road. Walter basically says, okay, so my thought is this. I think you're being tracked, probably by those bad guys you're trying to fight. But they're looking for you as a group with your kids. And you guys kind of stand out wherever you tend to go. So I was thinking I could take your kids temporarily while you go and do other stuff. And then they would be safe with me. And I could drive around with them and then keep them out of the bad guys' sight. Is that cool with you? Does that make sense?
No, it seems pretty dangerous. And I think it's probably going to be safer for all the kids to be with you, Walter. But didn't Aaron say something about our anchors being tied to us? Like us, like the whole family?
Erin O'Neill's leaf vibrates and she goes, yeah!
Erin, hey, I got a question. I got a magic question for you.
Yeah.
Does our kidney be with us when we go to the anchor, or can we keep them all like in safety?
So the way that it works is because the anchor is specifically tuned to the dad energy between you and your son, it's basically negative dad energy that's powering this anchor, right? It's the relationship that you have with your Omega Daddy. It needs an influx of positive dad energy from you and your son to basically destroy it. So the two of you need to work together to destroy the anchor, and you can't do it on your own.
Well, we got plenty of that, don't we, Grant? And I put my fist out for Grant.
Grant he just like puts his hand on your fist and like covers the whole thing and it's still bloody.
Oh, hey. Yeah, I don't know the kid's handshakes, but cool buddy. Like try to shake his hand.
Well,
still.
Look, we haven't all even right. found Ulysses yet. So maybe it's worth letting Walter have the kids while we go do that, because that might be kind of dangerous.
When Dennis says that, you hear Aaron go,
is Dennis still with you?
Aaron, you know about Dennis?
Yes, Aaron, I'm here.
I hate Dennis.
I don't understand why you hate me so much. I happen to respect you very much.
Hey, Aaron, it's me, Ron. I hate Dennis, too.
Ron,
I don't hate him.
Ron, that's not a healthy way
He's
to
really
talk.
Nice.
You can hear him.
I don't know how to put this, but you don't really see Dennis that often before. He hasn't been around here before. I'm not trying to pick him up at a bar. It's just, he just not doesn't exist.
Aaron immediately starts whispering,
Ron. I'm trying to play hard to get with Dennis. I fucking fuck Dennis. Don't play
You're in love with Dennis? Terry Jr.
He's so hot and nice and a firefighter. What
no,
am I supposed to
I know,
do?
I know.
You ruined it. You ruined it.
And the leaf hangs up.
Terry Jr.
Yeah, what's up?
Can we hop off this camel just a second and talk, maybe, you and I? I need you to trust me on something. That guy, Dennis, that really hot guy, that firefighter yoga bod guy, he just showed up. I swear this isn't sort of like a mustache thing, although I should probably introduce you to my fake talking mustache.
Oh, sure.
Did you hear that?
Terry goes, ah, yep.
Mr. Mustache loves you, Terry. Mr. Mustache, say hi to Terry.
Hello, Terry.
Okay, so if maybe we could all convince all the other dads that Dennis hasn't been here, or maybe does Dennis even believe that he's been here?
So Terry looks at you, and you can see on his face he's really trying to piece out what your play is, because you've come to sort of notice and realize whenever somebody talks to you, there's a brief period where they're trying to sort of like calibrate to what wavelength you're on and make the internal decision as to whether or not they're going to listen and or try to like piece together what you're trying to do. And this is the first time you've seen somebody do that and realize that everything that you're saying is true and genuine and not a weird thing, not a joke, not you trying to be self-deprecating and trying to understand something about yourself. Like, he actually understands you, and his eyes sort of clear, and he goes like, oh, and he suddenly gets scared because he's sitting directly in front of this person. And he goes, yeah, whatever you need. Sure. Yeah. You okay?
Yeah, we could do this together. Hi guys. Maybe we could do a wide animal dad huddle, but doodlers, I want to bring something to your attention.
Okay, Ron, what's up?
Dennis, the yoga dad bod, has only been here for like an hour.
Okay, this is sort of what I'm talking about. And I've been scared to bring this up to you guys. Something's been off since we met the Omega Dads.
Yeah, you know, I've kind of felt like something's weird too. Like, there's just this gnawing feeling in the back of my head.
I feel the same. And I think it really has to do with, it just doesn't sit right with me what happened to Scam Likely. There's just something about that that just, it's just sticking with me. And I...
What about?
We led him to his death.
I mean, Dennis, I'm not one to disagree with you because you're pretty freaking awesome.
Yeah, but hold like, on one second, Dennis.
I mean, I guess. You know what? You're right. We put him in a dangerous situation.
No,
but
he knew what he was getting into.
He died doing what he loved.
What do you mean he knew what he was getting into?
I gotta side with the guys here. I feel like, you know, he offered us a free scam and we took him up on it. And we're not the ones who killed him, but our dads killed him. And we're going to try to go right that wrong. So, you know, I don't, what are you getting at?
You don't feel any remorse? We're the reason he's dead.
No, I mean, look, I feel horrible that Scam Likely died. That's a horrible, there's been a lot of tough things that's happened on this journey. And I, you know, we had our differences with him. You know, he tried to screw us over many times.
Well, he's but just like, a goof. Yeah, that's just the type of person he was, you know. He was out for a goof and he was trying to help us and we got him
what
killed.
What is your real name?
I mean, he like impersonated me once and that's like not cool, you know. I mean, you don't buy someone else's style.
I mean, look, I there are times that I felt, I mean, we dropped a whole pyramid on a group of people. I felt really bad about that. I still do. I don't want to think about it. I'm compartmentalizing it. But I got to say, with regards to Scam Likely, I know I don't feel like I'm sad. You know, he died trying to help us, but he also dicked us over like a lot.
He gave me his mustache. Would he do that if he didn't love us?
Dennis, I guess, I mean, I totally hear you, dude. Like, totally good to express your feelings. Like, clearly we feel bad about
it. Do you clearly feel bad about it?
What do you want to do with this, though? Like, what are you trying to
do? You don't seem to care at all. You don't seem to care at all.
So as you hear that Who Framed Roger Rabbit-esque horrible noise come out of Dennis, the visage of Dennis morphs into that of a borderline like non-Euclidean creature that looks like the love child of the library and Benedict Cabbage Patch. It's basically got legs and arms that change number every time you try to count them.
God.
It's made entirely of the same color of like pink flesh all over it, but it also has a very pronounced mustache and an incredible coif of hair that looks like it on its own could seduce anyone in the world.
Yoga bod hot core dad, is this your king of kings now, ladies? You're gonna go to yoga all early to get with this guy, huh?
Yes,
huh?
Ron, very clever.
He's been with us the whole time because he's so hot and so
very
cool.
Very clever. Huh? It is me, Mark Likely.
No.
And you've killed my brother. Yes. And as a result, I'm going to ruin your lives!
Shut up, Mark, and tell us what you did with Dennis!
Mark, where's Dennis, you bastard?
So as you say that, Dennis looks at you with some confusion, and slowly the memories of Dennis begin to resolve themselves into what they truly are, which were implanted memories. You can feel them like somebody incepted you with the memories of what Dennis had been doing with you all of this time, that the origin of all those incepted memories, you know that they came from Mark Likely.
I wish that I, instead of freaking out, I had just been like, oh, hi, Mark.
And he's going to bamf away, but before he does, he's going to say, Aaron O'Neill can get it, though!
All of its arms and legs begin to crawl into its own chest, and it, like, starts, like, compressing inward. Like, there's a black hole inside of his chest, and he's sucking himself into himself, and then he basically disappears entirely, and he's gone.
Like that.
Like that.
He's gone.
And so now you have to decide, regardless of what role-playing stuff happens, you have to decide which of the dad's anchors you're going after first.
So Henry just drops to the ground in astonishment at the crazy eldritch nonsense he just saw. And he goes, what? Oh, my God. This whole time, Dennis wasn't real. If Dennis wasn't real, what is real? And Ron, you knew, none of us saw it, but you did. You saw through it, Ron, and we ignored you. And for that, I am truly sorry. And I kneel at Ron's feet and I bow my head in humility.
Ron.
Terry goes, just like at the end of Lord of the Rings.
Oh. Just like at the end of Lord of the Rings.
Which ending?
The one where Aragorn bows and says he's sorry.
Yeah, well, I stopped watching like 3 hours in that movie after there's already four endings, and then everybody just keeps ending.
Terry's like, I got you. We're going for. I got you. Okay. I got you.
That's a super fresh film take, Ron. Thanks. I haven't heard that one before.
Shit, Ron. Sorry. Dang. You were trying to warn us, Ron. You were right.
Kids, and I turned to the assembled kids, and I was like, this is an important lesson for all of you, which is that reality is more complicated than it seems sometimes, and you got to always check, you know, about stuff. That's what I'd say about that. You
Mark and Sparrow both raise their hands, and they go, are you sure the rule isn't that you're supposed to believe your friends when they ask for help and they look desperate? Because you didn't do that. None of you believed Ron. You were all very bad friends.
You know, that,
both of them say that simultaneously.
But Dennis was our friend. I'm just saying, like, it's not that morally simple. Like, Dennis was our friend. Like, that would be a weird message. Like, don't trust one friend when he says to distrust and hate another friend.
Clearly, Daryl has never been a girl in middle school.
Like, watch this. Hey, Glenn, Henry's not real.
Glenn immediately draws his gun and pins Henry to the ground.
whoa. Glenn, relax. It's me. Dude, you're Glenn. You're an asshole. You're uptight. Glenn, I don't like you. Remember, Glenn, it's me, just, Henry.
Yeah, Glenn, I was just trying to make a point. You don't, please don't shoot Henry. Jesus.
Glenn slowly puts his gun away and goes, I got my eye on you, tree man.
I think it's important in a world of magic that we don't constantly distrust everything. That will go down a scary territory if we distrust everything that we see. I hope that was a one-time thing that happened.
I think the lesson is trust, but verify. So I think we should have listened to Ron more than we did.
That's what we were saying.
And then we could have independently verified that Dennis was real. And maybe, you know, we could have taken a little bit of time to do that.
Okay, so whenever I hear a threat, I'm just going to be like, pick, or it didn't happen, bitch.
Oh my God. Okay, so Walter goes, so where are we going next?
So I think the first thing, I mean, we need to drop the kids off at the pool, so to speak.
Well, I'll take them in my motorcycle, and then we'll split off right here. But you basically got to decide where you're going.
Oh, did we fix the motorcycle?
Yeah.
Daryl.
I'm very good with machines.
It just stopped. All you did was put a vine in it, and then it came to a stop, and he pulled the vine out.
For whatever reason, this whole thing has not shaken Daryl that much ever since the snake walked away and everything. Like, it's just, things just bounce off him in this world at this point. I think as everybody's yelling about Dennis, he's definitely looking at Grant, who I'm assuming has a similar look on his face that he's had this whole time. And he goes, hey, guys, you know, I'd really appreciate it. I think if we could go do my thing first, I know we all want to spend time with our kids, but like, I would like to, if we could go with to Balls Deep. Right, Glenn?
Yeah. Daryl, I think you're right. We should go balls deep.
Mm-hmm.
Your dad's the one part of this thing we don't really understand, because it seems like you got a pretty healthy relationship with him. So maybe we can recruit an ally in this fight by doing that.
In the spirit of skepticism, which we learned by also trusting people, Daryl's dad is the only dad I haven't seen with my own eyes. So to Daryl, I say, real dad or it didn't happen, bitch.
Okay, yeah. It'd be amazing if we find my dad.
So Peyton says, I feel like I should go with Daryl and the guys. And Walter's like, well, you guys trying to get away from me again? But Peyton's like, no. Honestly, I for some reason, I get stuck in this world too because we tried to leave this world. And Walter's like, what? And he's like, oh, I'll explain it later. but I got stuck here too on the anchors. And I think mine is the same as Daryl's. So I feel like I need to be there too. Can you just trust me, Walter, Daddy? I promise it'll be okay.
Walter's like, we don't know each other well enough for you to call me Daddy yet. I want to get there, but it feels like you're forcing it. Peyton's like, oh, I'm so sorry. And Walter goes,
don't ever call anybody Daddy.
Don't call anybody their name and then Daddy. Don't daddy. Be like Walter Daddy.
Peyton's like, that's a perfectly innocent thing to do. I don't know why you guys are making it weird.
Hey, guys,
I think it's
Peyton's
really
eight. You know, it's okay for eight-year-olds to call their dad Daddy. That's all right.
Okay, that's fair.
Is it okay if I go with them, Dad? And Walter goes, I assume so. But afterward, you're coming back with me, okay? And Peyton says, okay.
The thing is that since we don't know what anchor he's a part of, like, probably he has to go to everyone until we find the one that he's a part of.
Oh, yeah, I guess so.
Good point.
Peyton's like, yeah, that's a good point. I guess I got to stick with them because somehow this has something to do with me. I don't know what the deal is. And Walter's like, all right. So Walter takes your kids that aren't
Well, can
Peyton
we say goodbye to our kids? Damn.
No, he puts them in the fucking motorcycle.
Right, sorry,
and then I was going to say, is there anything you'd like to say to them before they leave?
Sorry, go ahead. I didn't need to step on your thing. Go ahead.
That's fine. That was me just doing it right there.
Okay.
What do you want to say to your kids?
I go up to Lark and Sparrow and I put a hand on each of their shoulders. And I say, boys, I know we just re-met again, but it's going to be a little bit because I got to help Daryl here find his dad, you know? And I want you to both know that I love you very much. And you're both going to need to be brave and take care of each other and look after each other. Mom's back home, and she's really counting on all of us to pull through together and make it back home. And we'll be home playing Oaks and Ogres before you know it. But until then, you boys be strong, and you listen to Walter because he's a good guy. And if you get in trouble, you stick with each other no matter what, okay?
So Sparrow says, absolutely, Father. Brother and I will stay together come what may, and I will teach him, gosh willing, to be a sweeter, kinder, more empathetic person. And Lark just looks at you and says, Father, come back with your shield or on it.
And Henry tearfully gives them a salute and says, everything's going to be O-A-K, boys. And he salutes them and turns away.
Cherry, well, I was kind of aggravated recently because I thought, oh, Dennis is so cool with all of his stuff and his body and his talent, but you know what, Dennis, he doesn't have a kid like you, so I guess that I am way the frick better than fucking Dennis. That guy's an asshole and he doesn't even exist. So
Terry just pulls you into a hug and he says, Dennis isn't half the dad that you are.
Oh.
He's twice the
and
dad.
He coughs and he goes, he's twice the dad. No, he doesn't do that.
nice, son.
He doesn't do that. But yeah, he gives you a hug and he says, be careful.
I nod in a stoic but cool way.
Roll for
coolness. I know I'm going to have to roll. I have to roll for
dexterity.
Okay. Gosh. I roll a 7.
You like extend your neck all the way out and then just sort of slowly bow and like bend over and like you try to nod with your whole upper half and it just looks really fucking weird. Terry's like, yeah, no, I get what you're going for.
Glenn is going to say goodbye to Nick by going up, cocking his arm up like for a predator high five and then going, vaya con Dios.
And Nick cocks his arm the same way and bam and grabs your hand and completes the predator high five
and also quotes Point Break,
just says young, dumb and full of cum.
Yeah he grabs his father's hand and says young, dumb and full of cum.
and Glenn goes, all right.
He grabs your hand and he goes, Utah, give me two. The kids minus Grant and Peyton drive away with Walter. He says, like,
how do we get in contact with you?
So you see Walter pull a leaf off of a tree and he goes, talk to Erin, she'll talk to me. That's how we'll
kind of jacked up that you're making Erin kind of like a switchboard operator for us to communicate. It's kind of fucking weird.
Glenn, why are you screaming? Glenn, why are you screaming?
He hasn't driven away yet.
Aaron pops up on the leaves and she's like,
well, I'm the one who often gives you most of the information you need anyway. So around the time you need to talk to him, you need to talk to me anyway. So
wait, Walter, before we go, which way to Balls Deep?
Walter points to the west and he goes,
he points to his crotch.
Yeah. Walter points to his crotch. And then he points to the west and he says, Balls Deep is that away. And like in a movie, we like cross dissolve and you guys are on your horses and camels and mastiffs already traveling to Balls Deep. And it's an uneventful ride
across the wastelands known as the Taint.
No.
It's just one weird ridge. And you hear the sounds of cheering and the sounds of people. And as you turn a corner, you see a big building, like a large, almost like a coliseum. And on the outside of it says Balls Deep Stadium. And you hear shouting and chanting from the inside. And you see on the outside, there are people like barbecuing meat and like sitting around with big jugs of ale and stuff like that. And there is what you initially think is a screen, but as you look at it a little bit more, you see it's actually just a bunch of gnomes holding little magical torches that they can change the colors of at will. But it basically ends up being sort of like a screen. And you see the image of a brown egg-shaped object sailing and spinning around through the air.
Oh, man.
And then fist comes up and grabs it and then brings it down. And as the fist comes and brings it down, the camera follows it, and it comes down, and you see an eye-patched figure, and you hear Grant gasp, because it is the figure of Yeet Bigley, and he says, are you ready for some football?
Nice.
Hell yeah.
Dungeons & Daddies is Matt Arnold as Daryl Wilson, Anthony Birch as our DM, Will Campos as Henry Oak, Beth May as Ron Stampler, and myself, Freddie Wong, as Glenn Close. Theme song and outro is All Right by Maxton Waller. Audiobook intro narration by Will Jenkins. Special guest this week, Ashley Birch as Dennis Anderson. Ashley, what have you been up to?
There's a Mythic Quest Raven's Banquet quarantine episode coming out on Friday,
yes.
Which is already out. It's out.
Already out.
Oh my God, it's out. Go watch it.
Ashley's on a show called Mythic Quest, available on Apple TV Plus. You can follow her on Twitter at Ashley_Birch. This wild episode happened in no small part thanks to the support of our Patreon supporters. I use the word support twice. I don't care. Folks like Elise Tabor, Sam Middleton, Wolfie Walks, Anika Hardy, Michelle Cavanago, the original Nick Show, none of the knockoffs, Warren Bones, Daily Soul Poet 77, and Phantom Moth Stew. Patreon folks, we got a backlog of special bonus content coming your way. We're laying tracks down for the Henry Oak rap album, The Rocks Rock EP, this week, and we're going to make Anthony go on an adventure of our creation in an upcoming Walter and Peyton side quest episode. Patreon supporters at all levels will get access to these stretch goals for free, so if you want to be there when these crimes against digital media drop, head on up to patreon.com/dungeonsanddads and browse the fine supporter wares we have on offer. Website with some new merch, dungeonsanddaddies.com, twitter.com/dungeonsanddads for them hot tweets, bit.ly/dungeondads for that hot Facebook page, and r/dungeonsanddaddies for our subreddit. Next episode coming at you June 9th. We'll see you then. There was a time when you could read between the lines. You know they never brought you down. Never brought you down. Will, I should say that your Bill Clay impression from like two episodes ago was actually really good. Okay, I'm done now. Let's
Thank
go.
You.
All right. So,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, you're one of them, aren't you?
Bill Clay.
God.
Pretty tricky
the
with that
most
accent.
Specific niche fucking reference. Oh, God.
Oh, no. You're one of them.
You know those little things with the guns with the red paint? Okay.
Dungeons & Dads is brought to you this week by Aura Frames. Are you looking for the
Or are we?
Or are we?
Aura.
We Aura.
Aura Frames. Aura Frames.
If you've
the...
got pictures of seals, I know where you should go.
Crank them onto your Aura Frames and give it to your mom.
Have you ever seen such a big scroll that you're like, I gotta take a picture of that?
Aura Frames are beautiful Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames. You can put pictures of seals on there if you want. You can put pictures of Seal, the singer, on there if you want. They allow you to share
and
display.
You can buy a bunch of these and put other like gross stuff on them for your goon room.
It's true. It allows you to share and display unlimited photos. It's super easy to upload and share
photos.
Make a goon
room your mom's comfortable walking into.
Via the Aura app. And if you're giving an Aura as a gift, you can even personalize the frame. Listen to this, Anthony, with preloaded photos and memories.
There we
Dude,
go.
Meta I preloaded gooning. My Aura frame with pictures of Pitbull and Pitbulls. So sometimes I get Mr. Worldwide and sometimes...
no matter what, you win.
I'm just being silly. I have great photos on my Aura frames and I love it.
It's a great Mother's Day gift this year, Beth. You could give
I already did. I did it for last month.
You did I got one for my mom, too. Moms fucking love it.
Moms love this
moms
shit.
Moms go wild.
For Aura.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, and even the friends in your life, every mom loves an Aura.
That's like
frame.
A goon room that- for a mom is just supposed to be.
Name the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and select
it. Go
as
in
one
there
of-
and you see how long you can go without calling your kids.
And selected as one of Oprah's favorite things, Aura frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use the code DUNGEONS at checkout for your mom to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.